So it was pretty clear from what everybody was sharing that, well, it just reminded me of the Heaven and Hell Awakening from Death series. So what we're dealing with here is, in particular, the state of what's termed external concerns. So the state of external concerns has to do with stripping back externals so that internals can be revealed. And what that involves is basically the stripping back of our self-image. So, you know, we've spent a lifetime putting an investment into a self-image that's really built upon the loves of the world and the love of self. And that's something that is not going to be easily worked with or stripped back. And so there is a process. And what we see is that that process involves an iteration of states, many, many different states. And I think what we see well illustrated so far as those states go with regard to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh is just in terms of that process, we see that there is a hardening, a loosening, you know, that this occurs repeatedly, and that the whole thing really involves being able to have what's termed the sons of Israel released from his hold, or the hold that Egypt has upon them. And part of that involves this idea of an internal aspect to the natural having to be regenerated first, and then from that, the external of the natural can be regenerated. And that internal of the natural is what's represented here by Goshen, which is what is of the natural just above the sensuous. And this is where those things that are of the word that we've taken in can be collected together through praxis. The knowledges of the word exist initially along with all other knowledges that we have within the memory, but spiritual knowledges or knowledges that can be put to a spiritual use need to be elevated and find a structure or organization on a more interior level. And how that is done is by means of praxis. You know, as we take truths from the word and put them into practice, they are elevated because they become then a matter of life, not just a matter of knowledge. And of course, it's this matter of life, as things are more inworked into the fabric of our being, that that old sense of self can be then disrupted and a new sense of self can be installed in its place. And by a sense of self, or a new sense of self, we're talking about new kinds of affections and the kinds of thoughts that belong to those. So that will increase in terms of an awareness, or will be manifest through an increase of awareness of what relates to a spiritual life at the level of the world. And that's a life of self-examination and repentance in regard to the affections and the thoughts, not just external behaviors. Because you can have an evil internal and what appears to be good as an external. And that's a condition that needs to be sorted out. And that's part of what's involved in that stripping process. So once what is more interior has been built up in the natural, that is, there are principles there that we can live from, then that will manifest in attending to what is on a more external level, or a recognition of evils and falsities on a more external level. And as those things are then put off, so what is of a higher quality can be put on. And as that occurs, then that's described as, well, in the overall narrative, this is the process of the sons of Israel being set free from the power of Egypt. So Aaron represents doctrine, or external truths of the word, which are those things that are known from an intellectual perspective. That's what is more external. The things that are deeper are represented by Moses. And then what you have in the hand of Aaron is his rod. And the rod represents the letter of the word, which is then able to be used to what's termed strike the earth, strike the land. So what we have here, if we think about all of these elements as the word itself, then Moses' interior truth, Aaron, exterior truth of doctrine, and the rod is the application of that by means of the letter of the word. And so all these things come into alignment through our willingness to engage in self-examination and repentance or amendment of life. So that's what we see being manifested there. And that's a great example, right? The washing of the disciples' feet by the Lord illustrates that we're engaged in a process, you know, like that the natural is continually collecting dust. And as we recall, dust is the food of the serpent. And the more dust it can have, or the more dust that clings to the mind, the more that that serpent has, or that serpent thinking, that sensuous thinking has to feed on, so far as our own thought life is concerned. So we have to keep coming back to the word. You know, truth is described as water. It's also described as a basin, and it's also described as the Lord himself. So those three different aspects of truth are brought together by the Lord. Also, the garment that's used to dry the disciples' feet, if you look at that, it's another aspect of truth. So these are all aspects of the word that come together to illustrate a process. And that process means that we have to continually return to the word. And so in logopraxis, we have that built in terms of its methodology or structure. So what we see is that we return to the text every 2 weeks afresh, with a view to having the word examine us. You know, like the logopraxis principle is that we come to the word to study it, only to realize that the word is actually studying us. And as we are willing to allow the word to work in our life, so that dust, the residual that remains due to our contact with love of self and love of the world, is able to be washed off, at least for a time. The dust will always be collecting, and there will always be a need to return to the word in order to move forward. And the Lord is always seeking to bring about a cleansing.